The rats can take their appetite, and I can use that appetite to get them to test my little offering for them. I hope they will. I've got several out here. Let's look at what James says. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 17. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That means enduring without yielding. That's the idea. Enduring without yielding to temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And let no one say when he's tempted that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that good to know that we serve a God who is not vulnerable to evil at all? God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted. Look when it says, when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. And then James adds, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And he goes on, the scripture goes on. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly light, who does not change like a shifting shadow. I want you to put those two thoughts together. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights. Do not be deceived. So if the good and perfect gifts come from the Father of heavenly lights, what kind of gifts come from the other guy? Substitutes. Artificial things. Things that are less than good and less than perfect are out there. But every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. So you see, desires will deceive us. The word for deceive in the Greek is planeo. Where we get the English word planet from, it literally means to wander. If we're not careful, we will wander after our own desires. You know, all we like sheep have done what? What leads a sheep astray? Yeah. They're just nibbling. You're just eating. And they look up and the shepherd is nowhere around. Led astray by their own desires. And what is Satan? He's called the great deceiver. His job is to lead the entire world away from every good and perfect gift. He doesn't want you to taste and see that the Lord is good. He doesn't want you to taste and see that if you take the yoke of Jesus upon you and you learn of him, you'll find rest for your soul. He wants to lead you as far away from the goodness of God that he can. Because if you taste the real goodness of God, it's going to change what you think about what you've been eating. It's just like when you eat some boxed macaroni and cheese and then you eat some that one of these ladies had brought. Ooh. That didn't come in a box, you know. You know, look at the progression here. Let's study it just a moment. What the passage is. First of all, we're drawn away and enticed, okay? We're drawn away and enticed by desire. Then secondly, desire must conceive. When desire conceives, it gives birth to sin. This is good news. Having a desire is not sin. We are humans. We have desires. You'll feel them. It is not until you yield to desire that it's sin. We'll wrestle with desire. We'll battle it. And it may even take a time. It's not an overnight. Some fights take 15 rounds. And you can lose quite a few of the rounds and still win the fight. So battling desires is not sin. You know, it's if you yield to them. When desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And then it says, and sin, full grown, produces death. That's good news, because that means there's a time. If we have sinned, if we have yielded to desire and we have sinned, there is still time to prevent the end result from being death. What we can do, if we sin, we can confess our sin, can't we? We can turn from our sin and ask for forgiveness. And if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that prevents sin from becoming full grown. Only if sin is allowed to fully grow out its way will it produce death. So let's look at what Satan does. Satan exploits our desires, right? And what does he exploit them with? Bait. And of course, not all bait is the same. See, my bait for Aiden would be different from my bait for Emma. Right? How about that? I would have a different bait for Christopher than I might for Brother Rudy. The key is, Satan knows our own desires. And don't you think he's wise enough? He's been doing it for thousands of years to create a bait just for you? Just to draw you out? And what does he not want us to see? The same thing we don't want the fish to see, right? What do we not want the fish to see? The hook. That's right. And when we're smart enough, isn't that what we say? Okay, what is the catch? What's the hook? This seems too good to be. Yeah. You better ask yourself in that temptation. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Heavenly Father. But Satan is out there offering a bill of goods. And some cheap, you know, we think some countries are the source of cheap items. There has never been a greater manufacturer of that which is cheap than Satan himself. And we talk about how sad it was that some of the Native Americans were taken advantage of by men who offered them trinkets, gold trinkets in exchange for land. We think that is unfair. It's no more unfair that the men and women that God created in His image settle for such trinkets of Satan that robs them of their spiritual riches that God desires His people to have. That's what's really, really sad. I found out where my announcements went. Right there. There they are. Oh. So let me catch up here. Oh. You remember what this is a picture of here? This is a picture of during the 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. He was taken by Satan to a high mountain. And do you remember what he was shown? He was shown all the kingdoms of the world and the glories thereof. What do you think the glories of the kingdoms of the world were? Every desirable pleasure possible for men, he could see. The best of every human desire. And why would Jesus say no when he could have it all and the best of every earthly thing? Because he had been to see heavenly treasures.
Are you
He had known where the real treasures were. Jesus knew Satan couldn't give him every good and perfect gift. Only his Father had the ability to give gifts that are good and perfect. So he declined Satan's bogus. I don't know that it was a bogus offer. Satan is called the god of this world. He said, "It is mine to give. It has been given to me, and I can give it to whomever I want." But Jesus said, "I don't want anything you have to give me." So beware, okay? Beware that the pleasures of earth can rob you of the treasures of heaven. The pleasures of earth can rob you of the treasures of heaven. Remember what Jesus said? What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Really worth it? No. Not if you understand. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That's why sin is called deceitful. The deceitfulness of sin. We're told in the New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, to be careful lest anyone's heart becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. One of the things that causes sin to be so deceitful is you do not fully see the pain and the suffering and the misery that sin will cause. It will produce dangerous, dangerous consequences and results. You know what? Speaking about pleasures, this is what Paul made this statement in his instruction to Timothy. In his letter to Timothy, Paul was talking about what widows should be put on the list of widows that the church was taking care of. And in amidst of the qualifications, he said not just every widow should be put on the list. There should be certain qualifications. In the list of describing those qualifications, Paul made this statement that the widow who lives for pleasure is dead while she lives. If you or I are living for pleasure, we're spiritually dead. Some people, that's all they really know is pleasure. They are so void of the joy of the Lord and the power of God's favor through His Holy Spirit in their life that they just have to grab what they can from the world and try to satisfy their life with pleasure. But Paul said, if you're living for pleasure, you're not even spiritually alive. The widow who lives for pleasure is dead while she lives. Pleasing the flesh. The flesh would be your sinful nature. That your natural nature that has been infected by sin. If you or I are just living to please the flesh, then this leads to spiritual death. Pleasing the flesh, the sinful nature, leads to spiritual death. This is what Galatians 6, in the letter to the church of Galatia, Paul wrote this. Do not be misled. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. The one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. When you're sowing a field, you're cultivating a field and you're planting it hoping for it to produce something. If you are cultivating the pleasures of your flesh, from the very thing you're trying to satisfy, you are going to corrupt yourself. If you sow to please the flesh, from the flesh you'll be corrupted. But if we are sowing, if we are attempting to please the Holy Spirit, the result of that attempt will be eternal life. You'll experience eternal life. Romans chapter 8, Paul mentioned this. Therefore, brothers, we are not obligated to live according to the flesh. Our flesh is not eradicated when we become a Christian. We still have an old man to kind of nag us, to bother us, to hinder us. The Bible talks about the flesh wars against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. It's not eradicated, but it is neutralized by the power of the cross. The Bible says our old man was crucified with him in his body on the tree. So I want you to picture your old man, your flesh. It's crucified. It's nailed to the cross. Can you handle that? Can it grab you? Can it force you to do something? It's nailed to the cross. It's been neutralized. But you know what it can do from up there? Take me down. I don't want to be up here. I want to let me down. I'm uncomfortable. I don't like this. And if you take it back down and you start pampering it and you start feeding it, it can cause you massive problems. Jesus has taken care of its power. We're just to not give it its place back. We're not obligated to that. Therefore, brothers, we are not obligated to live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you're about to die. The Greek word really literally means you're on the verge. If you continue to go this way, this is what the result. The wages of sin is death. And if you sow to please your flesh, you're going to end up again under its influence. And the result will be death, not life. So we're not under obligation to live according to the flesh. And live according to is just another way of saying seeking to satisfy. We should not live in such a way that seeks to satisfy our flesh. Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said this, "But you have not learned Jesus Christ." He had just finished describing the way the Gentiles live. Let me quote to you the preceding verses. We pick up in this chapter 4. The preceding verses is, "Therefore I tell you this and insist it on the Lord that you live not as the Gentiles in the vanity of their mind, for they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God that is in them because of the hardness of their heart. And having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to indulgence with a continual lust for more." And then he says, "But you have not learned Christ this way." This is not how you've been taught in Christ to live. That's the way the Gentiles live. You've been taught in Christ, if indeed you've heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct. That's the way you used to live. Not now. You don't live that way now. Your former conduct, you put off the old man. And notice in this verse, look what it says. How is that old man corrupted? What was corrupting that old man? Deceitful desires. Desiring things that were not good and perfect. Desiring not the things of God, but desiring the trinkets that Satan uses to steal the spiritual blessings and joys from God's people. Don't live that way. Those deceitful desires are what corrupt the old man. So notice that. And let's just make sure you understand it. Next slide, Samuel. Deceitful desires are what corrupt us. It's a desire. And you're not fully aware of the consequence. That's what makes it deceitful. You don't fully see it. You disagree. Someone tells you it's wrong, and you know what? You disagree with them. You disagree with them. Why? Because you don't see it. You don't see it that way. You don't understand it that way. You know, you just don't understand. You might even convince yourself you know it's wrong. As if that's right. Is God more understanding of you if you're doing something, but you're just kind of telling him or telling others, "Well, I know it's wrong"? Does that make it better? No, it does not. That makes you more accountable. To him that knoweth to do, you know, if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no sacrifice. We're not somehow better. But a deceitful desire, if we're not seeing it, that is the very thing that will corrupt us. And the word for corrupt in the Greek, pathyro, it's hard to say. It's a tha and a tha right beside each other. Pathyro. It means to decay. To decay, to erode. How many of you know that suddenly, you know, most of us that have been in San Antonio or South Texas or wild, really pretty anywhere part of the country, if you've had a yard and you've had trees in the yard and suddenly this huge limb, there's no wind, it's just a sunny day, this huge limb just comes, boom, crashing down. What causes that? Internal decay. Internal decay. And suddenly it's been rotting on the inside because the sap is not flowing in the way it used to be. And it, over time, it's just growing weaker and weaker and weaker. You know, that's why some Christians, they can come to church and be here and even say amen and go to Sunday school. But if they're not thriving spiritually, if they've begun to decay, you know what's going to happen? They're gone. They fall off. It's just gone. Suddenly, what caused it? It had been happening a long time. It's just finally caught up to them. You know what a sinkhole is? Does that just happen? Mm-mm. What's been happening to create a sinkhole that just suddenly the whole ground collapses underneath you and everything around just falls into it? What's been happening? An erosion has been going on for a long time. Be careful. Be careful and do not let a slow, subtle process of erosion or decay happen in our life, okay? How, and the question that is important, because it did say the trap of temptation and the way of escape. How to escape? How do we escape this deadly cycle of temptation? By the means of being drawn away by our desire. How do we escape the cycle? In 2 Peter chapter 1, pay very close attention to the answer here. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature. Now, what would the divine nature be? Think with me. What is the divine nature? What does divine mean? It comes from God. It's His nature. What is natural to God? Holiness is natural to God. Wisdom is natural to God. Righteousness is natural to God. Goodness is natural to God. Understanding is natural to God. And if you're partaking of what's natural to Him, it will allow us to escape what's natural a la tierra, to the earth, down here, to the way men do it, to this system and this society, because this earth has been corrupted by something called sin. And in this world, this system is infected and manipulated by spiritual forces at work to prevent people from becoming free. Satan is a slave trader. You think slavery has stopped? The greatest slave trader of all time is Satan. Amen. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed.
Amen.
Satan is still operating his slave trading business. And it's all designed to keep people from discovering the freedom How many of you remember, have seen the movie Pinocchio? What was that? Pleasure Island. It was what, and they were so kind, they sent around a wagon and gave you free rides. And they gave you all the candy you wanted and money. They even let little boys smoke cigarettes and things like this. I mean, you could do whatever you want. And when you got to the island and you were in the middle of enjoying yourself, what began to happen? They began to turn into little donkeys. Wild donkeys. Why? So that he could use them to pull the carts in the mines that were making him rich. That movie was written for a purpose. Powerful parable, if you see it. But if we participate in the nature of the Holy Spirit, we'll escape partaking of those desires that are corrupting the world. That's how you escape. So the answer is living in the Holy Spirit. When we partake of the divine nature, the desires of the Spirit will help us overcome the desires of the flesh. Remember, that's what we talked about this verse. Here it is in Galatians chapter 5. Paul said that the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They're in conflict with each other. So, how is the winner determined? In the war between the flesh and the Spirit, how is the winner determined? Who determines whether the flesh or the Spirit wins in your life? Who determines? Don't you think it's the army that's the best supplied that's going to win the war? Yeah. Be careful not to supply your flesh. If we partake of the help of the Holy Spirit, we'll receive the victory that Jesus intended for us, okay? Now, I want you to note this. This is important to note. Because it says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Next slide, if you will, Samuel. We're going to have the desires. We're human. We are flesh and blood. We are going to have the desires. But having the desires does not necessarily mean we must fulfill them. So the key is battling the desires. Resist the desires. Fight the desires. Say no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit. It's not wrong to have the desire. You're going to feel angry. You're going to feel depressed. You're going to feel sad. You're going to feel empty at times. It's a feeling. You do not have to surrender to the desires. And having the desires does not mean anything's wrong with you. Just fight. Stand your ground. Don't give in to the desires, okay? That's the key. We must resist rather than being drawn away, okay? And just, you know, recognize the bait. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. When you begin to understand that the desires are a form of warfare, that Satan uses our desires like we use the desires of animals. For 20 years, my family grew up in a very rural part of southeast Missouri. We lived up there. We had a creek that ran on our property, and there was a wonderful creek behind our property. And so my children got to do something that I don't know how many of you have been able to do. How many of you have ever put out traps for animals? You ever trapped? Not many have. And look, PETA is in the house. No. These are not popular things. I didn't know any better back then, and I thought it would be a good experience for my children because it's such a wonderful lesson. You know, raccoons like shiny things and smelly things. I use both. Smelly things like sardines and a shiny thing like a piece of foil. And we could put something right at a creek bank and with some sticks along the side. Why sticks along the side? Because we didn't want them reaching in. They had to walk in a certain way. We thought it all out. We thought where it would be, how they would get to it, and what they would do. And we put it just below the surface of the water. Just there. And even if they got the little sardines off the trap, there was some foil right on that little spring mechanism. Because they like shiny things. And as soon as they reached for that, look, this is how Satan does with our desires. He cannot force himself on us. He can't force us to do what's wrong. He entices us. But if we understand his strategy, we will see, okay, this is why it makes perfect sense when Peter wrote, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." In other words, this is not our home. If we're pilgrims and we're sojourners, we're just passing through. You remember that old song? "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I'm just on a journey. Heaven is my home. This is my temporary residence right now." We live that way, okay, as a pilgrim and a sojourner, and we abstain. We hold ourselves away from these fleshly desires. And what are they? They war against our soul. You ever wondered why there's so many addictions? There are legal pain addictions. There's addictions to nicotine. There's addictions to alcohol. There's addictions to all kinds of stimulants that in the world. There's addictions to natural things. It's because these desires, Satan exploits them to war against our souls, to enslave us, to entrap us, to manipulate us. Let's be careful. That's why it's wise for us to abstain from them and to see them as those things that are actually warring against our soul. If you don't see something as the enemy, what do? If I'm wearing the same uniform you are, Charlie, what are you going to do? Right? "Hi, brother." But what if I'm not? Beware. False prophets. What kind of clothes do they show up in? Beware of how friendly the devil can be. Beware of how generous he just might be. Okay, just beware. Just be sober. Okay, just be sober. Test. Then the Bible says, test all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Because remember, if it's good, where does it come from? Now, again, I want to say this. I've said it before, but I hope you catch it so you can say it and shout it from the housetop. If God is good, not if really, because God is good, he must call something that has a bad effect on anyone evil. The fact that he is good, he cannot just sit back and passively and say, even though that's harmful to someone, it's okay. No, no, no. God's goodness is why certain things are called evil.
Amen.
And so if he says it's wrong, he says it's wrong for one reason. It is not good for you, regardless of how good it feels. Okay? God's standards are to protect and bless and enrich. That's why every good and perfect gift comes from our Father of Heaven. So, abstain, that's the one thing, the way of escape. Abstain from the fleshly desires that war against our soul. And then, I want to encourage you. I want you to forget, for just a moment, please, forget that you're a Southern Baptist. Some of you may not be a Southern Baptist. You don't have to forget. But if you are a Southern Baptist, I want you to forget something. Because we have given the Pentecostals and the Assemblies of God something that we have missed greatly. And that is the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will not be near as vulnerable to being tempted. When the joy of the Lord is your strength, and when you're experiencing a sweet communion with the Lord and loving serving Him, and your life has purpose and vision, and it's just godliness with contentment is great gain. When you're in that place where it's just what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to prayer. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. When you're filled with the Spirit, you will not be near as vulnerable to the trinkets of the earth. Be careful, okay? All right, I think I have for you a song that kind of summarizes this as we close. The words of the song, I put it up for you so you could see them with me. We don't have this in our Baptist hymnal. It's an old, old song. But the author of this song understood the heart of that the secret power in life is a dynamic, wonderful, sweet relationship with our Lord. It's not about following a bunch of rules. It's not about not doing those things that we wish we could. That's not religion. It's about being so enamored, so much in love with Jesus Christ, that we're driven, like Paul says, the love of Christ compels me. This is this song, How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours When Jesus No Longer I See. Sweet thoughts and sweet birds with sweet flowers have all... If Jesus no longer I see, sweet thoughts and sweet birds and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun, it shines but dim. And fields, they strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in Him, December's as pleasant as May. Wow. His name yields the richest perfume and sweeter than honey His voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. Thus blessed with a sense of His love, my all to His pleasure resigned. No changes of season or place would make any change in my mind. Wow. That's overcoming the world. You know how? By discovering the beauty of a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the key. The longer I serve Him, what is it? The sweeter He grows. The more that I love Him, more joy He bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. If you lose that, hours become tasteless, tedious. The Christian life seems a drudgery. And listen, if it's not a wonderful life, how do we think in our mind anyone else would even want it? You know, parents, your children are watching you, right? Grandparents, your children and grandchildren are watching you. Great-grandparents, your children and grandchildren and great-children are watching you. What do they see? Do they see how great it is, what a relationship you have with the Lord Jesus? Do they see how wonderful it is? That's what they need to see. That's what they need to see. That's what the light of the world is, all right? And the real way of escape to overcoming being, having the enemy entice us and try to draw us away by our desires is to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that though we feel them, that we're aware of them, we no longer fulfill them. We deny them and we are led by the Spirit. And we're not trading what's precious for trinkets. Okay? Pray with me.